And away we go. Here it is, a getaway Friday, October the 4th, 2019, 4:01 in the p.m. And whatever you're doing, drop what you're doing, stop what you're doing, take the knob off the radio, make it so you cannot change the dial, because we are joined by a gentleman who is a regular guest on this program, and I am so happy of that. He is the funniest man alive, and I'll tell you how funny he is. The last time he was on the show, it went over so well that we have had requests to bring him back through Facebook, through email. When is he going to be on again? Well, guess what? He's on. He's live for the hour today. What a pleasure it is, as always, to welcome to these microphones the funniest man alive, the man who gets us all thinking, laughing, and talking, and we can't get enough of, Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Well, I'm 93, so if once in a while you don't understand what I'm saying, because at 93 you start to talk a little bit like this, you know what I mean?
Well, how is
I'm right now, you caught me, I'm right now, because let me tell you what it is. At 93, I'm staying home. I'm not going to my horses. I generally play the horses in the afternoon. And I made a little croissant and jelly and a cup of coffee, and that's what I do now.
So you don't go play the horses anymore?
Well, I do, but I'm waiting for your call. And I figured I'd make a little croissant or something. You should see the way I walk. It's like, I don't know, what movie was like this? I forget, there was a movie about the dog, Sheba come home or something. Anyway, I just got a call before this, was funny, and a guy said to me, this man died and he left some money, and he gives away, the guy was very good, he gives away money for certain charities, and they needed somebody to do a few minutes. Would you like to do it? And we'll give you $1,000.
Oh.
So I said to him, that's very nice. Do you think I need $1,000? You know, it's like, that's what they got me. They've got me now in position in life. I don't know what I'm talking about. Got me positioned in life that I'm just an old man in a nursing home.
So somebody called you to come do stand-up.
Well, it's the stand-up, it's like they're going to have 50 people, and I'm going to entertain them for this man that died. I do funerals now. I used to do weddings.
Well, did you take the gig? We all want to know.
Did I take it?
Did you take it?
No. No, they're going to have to bring somebody over and do a show for me.
Well, what is life like at 93, Shecky?
Oh, my God. It's certainly different than 92. 92, I think, was better than 93.
What has happened?
I got problems right now. I can't walk too well. I'm using a walker, which is, to think about it, the condition that I was in, that I was an athlete and everything else, and now it takes me about an hour to get to the bedroom. My wife says, come on to sleep, and wait a minute, I'm walking. I'm right now passing the toilet, and now I go to the kitchen, and let's see. All right, which is it, left or right? Oh, good.
Well, speaking of ages, there was recently a celebrity birthday. Barbara Walters turned 90 years old.
Barbara Walters, I told you this before. I was very close to Barbara Walters. I didn't know she was 90. I think she's older than that. They lie.
Oh, she's older than 90.
Maybe not, but she and I were very close friends.
But you were close with her father, the famed...
Well, her father, yeah. Her father...
Lou Walters.
Owned a nightclub, the Latin Quarter of New York. And then he came to work at the Tropicana in Vegas. He had one eye, and he played cards. Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Yeah, he had one eye, and he played cards, and he kept looking at the cards with the wrong eye, and he lost.
Oh, poor Lou. Poor Lou.
Poor Lou.
When the Latin Quarter was at its height, though, what was it like to be there?
Well, I quit. I'll tell you what it was like. It was, they used to get tours, bus tours, and that wasn't the kind of audience for me, you know? I worked on the stage, and my props and everything were way above, you know, and the flyer way above the stage. So if I needed a hat, I says, and then throw down the hat, and I'd have to wait 4 minutes for the hat to come down. I wasn't too good at that time.
Now, being in New York at that time, what were the hot rooms to play?
Well, the Latin Quarter was a top spot, you know, for New York, and the Copacabana, Copacabana was run by a man, Jerry Portell, who was the nastiest, meanest man in the world. And he'd be working, and he had a ring. And if he didn't like the joke or anything, he'd hit the table with the ring, you know? So I didn't get too many laughs, but I got a lot of rings a lot of sounds from the ring. He said, you don't want it this way, you talk like that. He said, hey, do you think you're funny? Well, you're not.
He sounds an awful lot like Ed Sullivan at that time.
Oh, no. Ed Sullivan says, Shecky, I want to tell you something. I don't know what you did out there tonight, but it was terrible. Now, I'm going to bring you back, and I want you to really have a hottie, a winner. Okay, Ed, I promise I'll do good.
Well, now, did he used to berate everybody like this?
No, he just, no. No, but he thought he was an expert, that he knew all of that stuff. I told you before, a sports writer. You know, he didn't know a singer from a dancer.
But you got close with him in later days.
Later days, yes. Right now, at 93, I would be perfect with him. We'd be sitting at the table having lunch, neither one of us eating, just looking at the food. Ed, would you like a roll? Right now, you don't want a roll. I'd want a... No, Shecky, no roll.
But you said Ed changed over time.
Yeah, Ed basically was a nice man. He just, you know, that job made him... he was like the top guy on television. So that job changed him that he knew everything.
You know, it's interesting because the Ed Sullivan Theater, where you performed, where Ed Sullivan did his show, was also the home of David Letterman for many years, and now it's the home of the Stephen Colbert Show, which people can watch every night.
Yes. David Letterman, I never understood. He mentioned my name a few times. Never asked me to do the show. It was an unbelievable thing. I'm the one that saved the Comedy Store here in Los Angeles, where they all worked, where they all really began. And this guy never asked me to do his show.
Now, did you ever do the Jay Leno show?
I did the very first Jay Leno show, and that was it after that, because the guy that produced the show and I did not get along. Jay Leno was a very nice boy and very... I never thought Jay Leno was really funny. He had a very, very pleasant way about him. But he wasn't one my type of comic, yet he was a nice kid.
Now, when
Wait till I get letters from that. My God. They're going to send me his old cars now.
Now, when it comes to Johnny Carson, who kind of started all this, now, were you on much with him in his later days?
Yes, I was on with Carson a lot. I did the Carson show, I don't know how many times. Then I hosted the Carson show. And the very first time I hosted it, I was really good. I don't know why. Maybe the guests that I had, because everything was predicated on the type of people that you interviewed. And if you had good people, but I didn't realize, when they had me host, I would get the worst people in the world on. You know, I'd say to a guy like Robert Conrad, "You was from Chicago? I'm from Chicago." And he says, "I don't want to talk about it." Oh, excuse me. Then I got a girl from England that did upstairs, downstairs. I said, "You know something? I love people from." She says, "You sound like you're talking from Australia." I mean, every time I ask a question, I went, "Oh my God, they're gonna hit me."
Now, did you have a chance to go out and book your own guests if you would like to?
No.
No.
Only one time. One time, my horse won a race, and I brought on Bobby Frankel, who was a top trainer. I brought on Camilo, who was a trainer for jockeys. I mean, he was an agent. And who else did I have? And a guy by the name of oh my goodness, he owned a restaurant. Manny's in California, Mario. Anyway, I brought them on and we showed the picture of the horse winning and everything, and they said never again. I thought it was great, but they didn't like it.
They weren't happy with it.
No, they weren't happy with it. I says, "Well, then bring me back on. I'll let the horse lose this time." It'll be more interesting.
You know, Shecky, this Buzzer Network has become very popular, where they air the old game shows, and you're in a lot of those old match game shows.
Well, I was on for a week. I really was not into that type of thing, but you got the recognition and you got the exposure, which was good. But I'm getting more calls from that match game show than I did for anything else I did on television.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the match game is back on television now with Alec Baldwin, and I think you and Betty White might be the only two of the original cast that are still around who could go on the match game.
Oh, my God, that's right.
That'd be good.
I'd love Betty. Can I tell you something? I'd like to tell the world, Betty White is one of the greatest human beings that God put on this earth. She's adorable. She's bright. She's funny.
She's 97 now.
Oh, my God. Oh, Betty White, I dream of you at night. I always want you in my sight. Betty White, I love you. That much is true. What I, Betty, okay. just give me a lead and I'll go into a song.
Well, it's interesting because Betty White, I don't know how she's doing at 97, but she just did some kind of little commercial for the NFL being 100 this year.
Oh, my God. Well, she played quarterback, right?
I think she did at one point, yes.
She's, my God. Well, she's still active, you know. They say it's in your mind. Age is in your mind. And I lost mine about 10 years ago.
Now, if somebody called today and it wasn't, you know, the man with the funeral, would you go up and do stand-up comedy?
No.
No.
As I said before, I go from store to store. Whatever store I go into, I do an act. If I go into the grocery store, I go, "How much is a guy? How much is a bottle of milk? How about a piece of bread? Have you heard what I said lately?" You know, then the people all look around. He's nuts. Then I ask them to take out their telephone, and my name is in the telephone. You know, you look up the name, and you see the pictures. So I go around telling people, "Take a look. That's me over there."
That's good.
Yeah, it is. And then they got a picture of me, and it's got a sign that says, "Beware of this man."
You know,
be careful. He sings.
Well, you know, you should get a talk show now, Shecky. You would be good.
I should get a walk show. That's what I like to walk instead of talk. And I'll tell you what, I'm very bad with the horses. I can't pick out a winner. That's another thing that bothers me.
Well, tell everybody how does horse racing work out there? We don't know here.
Well, they got what do we got? What do we got? In the hotels, they've got these places, and they got the things are up on the wall, and you go in and you sit with all other guys, and every guy gives you a horse, you know. And number four, okay, number four. Another guy gives you number three. So by the time you're finished, if there's 10 horses, you've been given 11 horses by other guys.
And this is
you
a good...
You can't lose. You can't win, but you can't lose. But they have these rooms. Look way up. I can't think of anything right now. I am 93. But every hotel has got the horse rooms. You go into the horse rooms, and it's a sickness like anything else. The only trouble is, as you're on the way to the horse room, you got to pass a dice table where you lose, then you pass a blackjack table where you lose, then you pass a keno ticket. And then by the time you get to the horse room, you don't have any money to bet horses. But keno is another game, you know, where you get a card that you bet. You pick out a certain amount of numbers, and they got it in a coffee shop, and then you're waiting for the girl to come in, and the girl comes in, brings the ticket and everything else. I lost $1,500 waiting for a bagel to warm up when I was playing keno. I don't know what I'm talking about right now.
Well, you know what?
I am really gone right now.
No.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my biscuit.
You know, Shecky.
You know, the keno, they got keno, and you play keno while you're betting the horses, then you bet. It's they got you coming and going, and then it's $15 for parking. That's a new thing they got here in Vegas. Guy says, how much did you lose? He says, I got one a couple more dollars of blackjack, but I lost $15 at the parking.
Well, they get you coming and going. They get you
coming
anyway
and
you
going.
Now, Shecky, we're about to head into the holiday season here. Halloween will be coming up. Now, do you have any fond memories of Halloween throughout your life?
Not even as a kid. It wasn't one of my favorite. It wasn't one of my favorite holidays. Because when I was a little kid, somebody gave me some bad chocolate. They forgot to tell me to take the wrapper off.
Now, what was Halloween like back in the 1930s?
Oh my God! The people made their own outfits and costumes. Not today. They go and they buy a kid $100 costume, you know. And it's so much different.
Was your mother a crafty woman and could make a costume for you?
My mother?
Yes.
No. Jewish ladies never made Halloween costumes. That wasn't one of their fortes. Now, could you imagine a Jewish... Listen, I want to tell you something. Today you'll be a witch, all right? What do you mean a witch? A witch, you'll be a witch. With a broom, but I'll tell you something. Bring the broom back. That's not to keep, all right?
Well,
wait, where are you going with that? Put that hat down, that's my hat.
Well, if your mother didn't make it, where did you get your costumes?
Oh, I didn't, I never did. I wasn't one for the Halloween. My brothers and I, we just beat up each other, that's it. And we turned black, that was our makeup.
Now, how is your brother?
He's not doing well, he's in Milwaukee. And he's a wonderful man, and he's doesn't talk well, he doesn't hear well, doesn't see well. And when I tell people about that, I begin to say, wait a minute, that's me. I'm talking about him, and it's me.
Now, is this your older or younger brother?
That's 2 years, he's 2 years older than I am. And he was the one that did imitations, and he did dialects and things. And I used to do what he did. I ended up making a tremendous living with my career, and he went into the tile business or something. I don't know what he was in.
Now, was your family a close family?
the Semitic families were very close, yes. You know, very close, with starting from the grandmother and grandfather. Yeah, we would go every Sunday to the grandmother and grandfather, you know, and there were special foods that they had. Yes, we were very close.
Now,
we had to be close because we were fighting all the time, and you had to get those people, you know, to fight. You couldn't stay home and fight, so you go on a Sunday and you'd start an argument.
Now,
pass me the bread. You don't want the bread. Yeah, I want the bread. Okay.
Now, were you closer to your mother or your father?
To both. I was really both. My father taught me how to play the horses. I cursed him every day, and my mother was a special lady. She worked. During the Depression, my father lost his job, and then my mother went to work, and she went working after that. She sold hosiery and bags in one of those shoe stores.
Now,
she was a great lady, great sense of humor. My father had a good sense of humor.
Now, your brother is 95, and you're 93. Now, there's some good genes there. Did your parents live to be older?
No, my father did, but not my mother. My mother, let me tell you, my mother was in a nursing home. It's a cute story. My mother was in a nursing home in California, and Buddy Hackett came over one day, and he says, Hey, Shuck, go visit Bess. That was my mother's name. So my mother, when you go out there, she had her head down. She never looked up, never talked to anybody, just... She was on her way out, and when we went out there, Buddy Hackett and I, Buddy said, "Hiya, Bess," and my mother lifted up her head like she was 3 years old. She said, "Hiya, Buddy, how are you?" Well, I went, "Oh, my God." So I took Buddy to every nursing home that I could find.
Buddy Hackett knew how to speak to older people.
Oh, yeah. I took him to different places. He said, "Hiya, folks. How are you? This is Buddy." And they'd all say, "Hiya, Buddy."
Now, Buddy Hackett, he always would come on with a dirty joke. What was he like in private?
A dirty man.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you about Buddy. Buddy Hackett was a very bright man. There was some meanness in him. He liked to be in control of everything. But there was a meanness about Buddy. Buddy was funny. Buddy and I had a love relationship, and the hate lasted longer than the love because he died before we got into the love part.
Well, that is a shame. Oh, you know what else is a shame? I was just thinking about this. Larry King is still not back to his show. He's still in the hospital.
Don't you know why? He got a divorce.
Well, he did, yes.
Didn't you see that?
I did.
He married this girl, this Mormon girl, who was much younger than him. And I never understood that situation. And he had children with her and everything else. I think it was the eighth marriage.
I think you're right.
Yeah, this is not exactly the best-looking guy in the world either, you know. And anyway, I don't know what to say. He's still in the hospital?
He's been in there. In April, they reported that he had a heart attack, but his people said no, he didn't. He just had a little angioplasty or something. But yet he has not been out of the hospital or seen since April.
Isn't that wonderful? He sells those little pills on television to get well. You know, and he talks to that guy, and the guy says how good they are, and everybody's healthy and well from that little pill. He better take that little pill.
You know, last night, this is sad. I was watching one of the last interviews he did with Danny DeVito, and you can clearly see that Larry King is kind of yellow. His skin is yellow. There was something wrong with him.
Well, he was born in Japan. Didn't you know that?
Oh, I did. I missed that fact. And he was born in Japan.
Oh, he's a little Yeah, he was a Jewish Japanese.
Oh, and he married a Mormon.
He married a Mormon, and she did, and beautiful girl. But I think she married him for a little recognition.
But
she sang.
But she has spoken out now. She said she's very upset. She was blindsided by this divorce, and so on and so forth.
Oh, she didn't know what was going to happen?
So she says.
Well, I think they had a little trouble, because outside of the delicatessen one day, somebody called me and told me they were fighting in front of Nate Nels in Beverly Hills. So that's what I knew. I got to get information. Hello, what did they do? They did? Okay.
Now,
he was arrested?
Now, Larry King used to like to play the horses.
Larry King played the horses, yes. I used to go out there. We didn't talk to each other, but we used to sit at the same table.
Well, why didn't you talk?
Well, I don't think we liked each other. I was at the getting a ticket one day, and he recharged me, went to throw me down. I don't know why, till this day, but I wanted to pick him up and throw him down, you know. And then one said to me, he says, you know, well, you're not good at all on television. You shouldn't go on television. I said, where did that come from?
Now, was he wearing his suspenders, and was he hunched over like
that? He's I don't know. You know, there's another one of those kind of guys that has absolutely no talent. They could talk, and they do that type of thing. But he was supposed to be the, what's the word I'm looking for? The maven of, that's a good word, the maven of comedy. But they were all Rickles fans. You know, it's when, every time somebody was a Rickles fan, they hated me.
Now, what do you account that up to? What do you chalk that up to?
Well, because of the situation, I started the thing in the lounges, and then Rickles came in and everything else. And somebody thought that if you like Rickles, you can't like Shecky. Matter of fact, his son-in-law said to me, well, you two were competitors. I said, I've never been a competitor to your father-in-law. He never meant anything. He couldn't sing. He couldn't dance like I did, you know.
Now, were you ever friends with Don Rickles?
Yes. Yeah, sure. I like Don. I was crazy about his mother. But that's just another people cause that, you know. They start that rumor. Oh, did you hear what this one said? Did you hear what that, you know?
Now, who were the really big comedians back in that day?
Oh, God, there were so many. I mean, you're talking about the big stuff, the Jack Bennies, and that's a different era of, and then we came in. But, you see, there were nightclubs, when you worked a nightclub, your stature was what nightclub you worked, whether you're good. If you got to the Copacabana in New York, that was good. The Shapiro in Chicago. You know, it wasn't like television. Then television came in. What television shows you were on? You know, how many times did you do the Carson show? How many times did you do the Sullivan show?
Were you ever on the Steve Allen show?
Oh, a lot of times. That was one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Steve Allen.
Whenever Steve carried a tape recorder with him, and whenever you talked to Steve, he'd say, hiya, Steve, how are you? He said, just a moment. Shecky just said hello to me. Tell us then. Talking to the recorder. Shecky just said to me. Okay. What is it, Shec? Steve, you know what? We went to have lunch just a moment. Shecky said he had lunch. And then I used to do little songs, and he would make them, he would go with me. You know, he's my pal, I mean a real guy, Steve Allen. It's just a moment. Shecky's singing a song now.
You know who I loved and had on this show a lot of times before she passed away was his wife, Jane Meadows.
Oh, God, she was a lovely lady.
What a wonderful
lovely
woman.
Lady.
Wonderful woman.
Yeah, and her sister was great, too. They had a very good marriage. His mother was in vaudeville, you know. Her name was Blossom.
Now, did you ever know her?
No.
No.
No, I never knew her. Nobody talked about her a lot.
Now, what about Jackie Gleason? Did you ever know Jackie Gleason?
No, I never. I met Jackie Gleason. My ex-manager had him in a New York play, Follow the Girls. And I met him when he worked at Chicago Theater. We went up to see him, and I didn't like him. I didn't like him because it's a terrible thing. I don't want to say this where people are going to hear it, but he was not my kind of guy.
A different type of fellow, I think people would say.
He was sort of that Irish braggadocious type of, you know, hiya, pal, how are you? Good to see you. What's your name? I saw you before.
Well, what was that famous restaurant he used to hang out at? Toots?
Toots Shores. Yes. All the athletes and everything. Toots Shores was a big, heavyset guy, you know, and we had one of those also in Los Angeles. And there's always a restaurant that they go to. Mm. Or we go to, they go to. But something about show people love food.
And you and Larry King used to hang out at Nate Nowell's.
Well, he would go. I'd have breakfast sometimes with him at Nate Nowell's. He would have oatmeal. I'll never forget that. Then they'd have matzi bra. You know what matzi bra is?
No.
You take the matzi and you break it up with eggs and everything, and then you make that with the eggs, and it's delicious. And if anybody's listening to this program, you know, you want to order it, just I'll give you my telephone number. I want to tell you this, I really want to try to make myself a morning, a little matzo pie, a little jelly on the side, just to make my tuchus white. Okay.
Well, what do you think, I mean, you're an expert now, being 93, what do you think happened to Larry King's health?
Health?
Yeah, what happened to him? Why is he in the hospital for 6 months and we can't
see
him?
He's old. What do you mean? I mean, that's what we got doctors for. I mean, if nobody got sick, we didn't need doctors. Matter of fact, the doctors I had, well, I didn't need at all anyway. I went to a doctor. He only went to medical high school.
Well, that's no good.
He never went to medical college, Mike, the guy I used. He'd say to me, what do you think you got? When I went there, he'd say, what do you think you got? I came to you to find out. And then you go to a doctor and you sit with 27 other people in the room, and the girl comes out and she says, next, 20 people get up and go into the room.
Well, now, at 93, what is your relationship with Dr. Shecky?
Oh, this is a terrible thing for me. I'm not overly fond of doctors or the things that happen to me. I went to Mayo Clinic, which is advertised, and I, at one time, was one of the great clinics. But I yell now, hold the Mayo.
This is supposed to be a great hospital.
Yeah, it's a great hospital. And they got, but I had some bad situations there. But, you know, I think God takes one person and says, I'm going to give him trouble. Here, world, here, Shecky, give him trouble.
Now, Shecky, when do you say, what was your last stand-up show like?
My last stand-up show, believe it or not, was supposed to be an interview with a guy here. And it was at a place called the Smith Center in Las Vegas. And I don't know why, but this is a strange, but it was one of the best shows that I've ever done. I just was wild that night. And I just, after I was over, I didn't even realize what I did on the stage. It was just, maybe it was getting that audience and feeling that was the last, you know? But the audience was wonderful. And I created things at that night. And it made me very proud. And somebody said to me, well, why don't you do that? I said, no, I'll never be able to do a show like that.
And when was this?
Oh, 2 years ago.
Oh, so not too long ago.
No, not too long ago.
So you were, no. Now, at one point, wasn't there a story about you were getting up to do stand-up in a restaurant and you broke your leg?
Yeah, I wasn't doing stand-up. I was leaving the restaurant. It was at the Tiger American Club. I should have known, because I'm married to an Italian, that I'm going to get in trouble in the Italian place. You know, I guess actually, you know, you're always worried about those kind of guys that are going to break your leg. When I said, "Hey, I'm going to break your leg," well, this guy really felt that way. Anyway, what happened was, I was walking out and I got the stage sticking up. I tripped over it and I broke the leg, and I'm laying there. And a guy, a writer from the Las Vegas Sun, said to me earlier, "You know, I got to have something to write about." So I said, "Okay." So now when I fell and broke my leg, he was over me and I said, "Now you got something to write about." And it hasn't been the same since. I've been walking with a walker. I got people to help me take it in the car, out of the car, in the car. Then I found out it was the wrong car. I've been using somebody else's walker.
Now, what did the doctor say about your leg?
That's why with my got this doctor, and I was in the hospital with the leg. Now I get out, and they say to me, "Well, you can't. That leg is not fixed because you got the hip is." My hip was all from, I had a prosthesis. So they said, "We had to fix it. Why didn't you fix it then?" The one doctor says, "I don't do that. My partner does that." Here it is. So from that time on, I've been limping, and it's got, I got the doctor's name on my hip.
God.
Soon to be done by Dr.
Is there anything they can do for your hip and your leg?
Well, they claim I'm too old to want to operate, you know, and I'm having a little trouble breathing. Matter of fact, if this phone goes dead right away, you know I pass. Oh, God, help me. Can I tell you something?
What's that?
When I think about being in this, that I was in this business, how lucky I was. And to do what I did, and I think about how people compare one comic to the other comic, or this, that's a bunch of baloney. Whoever pleases you, you know?
It's a taste type of thing.
That's it.
Now, when you were growing up, who did you like?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, because you know, I was frightened of everything. My mother, because of the Depression and no money to pay the gas, and the light, I instantly frightened. My mother would say to my father, "We can't pay the lights this week," you know, and that scared me. So all of that stuff built in my mind that I was frightened of this, frightened of that. But I was a good athlete. Even when a ball came to me, I'd say, before it finally landed, I'd say, "I'm going to get it, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to get it, I'm not going to get it. Oh, I got it," you know. But so I had that fear. And later on, I used to get terrible, terrible attacks on stage.
Now, what was the worst panic attack you ever had on stage?
Oh, well, one of them was just before the Carson show. I had a terrible panic attack. And the guy backstage, the black fellow, threw me out. He said, "Shaky, get out of here," you know, and threw me out on the stage.
And how were you?
Of course, he threw me out on the wrong stage. It was Merv Griffin's show he threw me out on.
Well, were you able to function on the Carson show?
Sure. Function, that's a Jewish word, you know, function. Did you know you speak Jewish?
No, I didn't know that.
Function on. That means function on.
Function on. Function on.
It's a great function on. It's a great word. You know, the great thing is that I use a lot of Italian and Jewish when I go to express myself on stage. You know, because there's some words in different languages that are very, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Expressive.
Oh, my God. You got to travel with me.
You know,
expressive is the word. Now we got function on and expressive.
We're going to play Password here in a few minutes. Forget the match game. We're going to do Password.
All right.
Were you ever on Password?
No.
No. Did you know?
That was an intellectual show. Nobody put me on that.
Well, that was Betty White and her husband, Alan Ludden. Yeah.
Who was a wonderful, wonderful man. They were crazy about each other. They used to come to see me work. She really loved him.
You mentioned somebody earlier I don't think we've ever talked about, Merv Griffin.
Oh, you missed. Merv was special.
Now, what was Merv like? What was it like doing
Merv was everything that Carson wasn't. Hear what I tell you?
Yeah.
As great as Carson was, Merv was everything. He was accessible. He was humble. He was intelligent. He was just a nice man. I loved doing the Merv Griffin show.
And then he got into the money. He got some casinos and game shows, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Those shows, what people don't know, his wife, I forget his name, her name again. Julia? No, something like that.
I think her name was June Ann.
No, not June. No, I don't think June.
Jewel Ann.
Yeah. Anyway, she was the one really that made up those shows.
And Merv cashed in.
Well, they were married, you know, they shared everything. And the shows made him a fortune. But he had the ability that Carson couldn't get with the royalty and stuff the way Merv went over with the King and Queen of England, you know, and he fit. Johnny couldn't do that. Johnny was frightened from that. Johnny, the bigger Johnny got, the more whatever I'm thinking of. Give me another word.
He became reclusive, more reclusive.
That's the word. We got another one. Put that down, reclusive. Okay.
So we've got function and reclusive and expressive.
Yes. And I'm call me next week for another lesson.
What?
But, you know, for me, is this, to use my brain at this time, it's tough. Well, but anyway, he had everything, as I said before, that Carson didn't have.
Now, the other big talk show at that time, you had Merv Griffin, and you had Johnny Carson, and you had Mike Douglas.
Who was one of my best friends.
Now, he started in Ohio.
Yeah, he started in Ohio. Mike was a singer, and then he did that show with a little cockamamie show, and then he got big. But he was a very nice man, Michael. And doing his show was a pleasure. They had Woody. The guy's name was Woody, was the producer. And Woody was the producer of that show, and he got Mike Douglas on. And then he produced the One in the Morning. What's the One in the Morning? Good something? Good morning. I guess Good Morning.
good morning.
What's the morning show?
The Today Show. Good Morning America.
No, not the Today Show.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. Woody did that. He put that on. I did the very first show with a guy, Paul Hartman, who talked to me for 7 seconds and threw me off.
you had a bad experience with David Hartman?
Oh, no. Paul Hartman was, I don't know who he was. I don't know whatever happened in his career.
I think he's out making documentaries.
What happened was that I brought on my wife, which was a big mistake. I brought on my Hawaiian wife, and she was wearing her grass skirt, I think. They didn't want her with the grass skirt.
Now I think about
it. I didn't want her with the grass skirt. Matter of fact, I kept on burning that grass skirt.
Now, I think about this back in that day, and you had Barbara Walters, who we talked about, and her cohort, Hugh Downs. Did you know Hugh Downs?
Yes, I did, who happened to be an unbelievable, lovely man. Yeah, he was as good as I can make him.
You know, he's still alive. I believe he's 98.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's somewhere out now.
No, come on over.
He's somewhere out there in Arizona.
What a lovely man. Bright, nice, and he was very good with Barbara. He was the one guy that was not good with Barbara on CBS.
Harry Reasoner.
Huh?
Harry Reasoner.
He did not like Barbara.
No, he didn't.
No, and that was the end of his career.
You know, and that's a shame, because apparently we've learned that Barbara is a nice woman.
Barbara's a very lovely woman. Barbara's very smart and very good. Yeah, I love Barbara.
Now, she just now you should call her up. She just turned 90, and wish her happy regards.
Oh, Barbara, my darling, my dear. I'm so happy that they made a day to have you. You're 90, what? 90 what?
90.
90, that's okay. I haven't got that much candles to put on the cake. You better check it, my dear. I think it's a mistake. Okay.
She was very sensitive about her age, though. I don't think she'd like us saying she was 90.
Well, who isn't sensitive about their age? Are you kidding? I got to worry about, you know, my wife's got Spanish tile on the floor. And when I walk at this age, 93, I fall into the cracks. I creep into the cracks. Do you imagine at my age, guy says, what do you do for a living? I don't do anything. I just walk out, look out for the Spanish tile. And then I got a Mexican maid that comes over and I says, explain this to me. I want to tell you, Mr. Green, 50 malores me agarra de Spanish tile.
You know, Shecky, the time always goes by so fast, but before we wrap up, tell us a great story about Ed Sullivan and Topo Gigio.
Right here on my show, I have a Topo Gigio, and all I want to say that Topo Gigio is not really a real person. But I talked to Topo Gigio. Topo, hello, Ed, are you ready? Oh, he calls me Eddie. I want to say that nobody's ever called me Eddie. I want to tell you, Eddie, he's known. Right here on our show, right now, is Topo Gigio. Come. And if you talk to this thing like it was real. Matter of fact, I think that thing and he got along better than he got along with people.
And Senor Wences back there playing the part.
I want to tell you, he said, I like, you like. I want to tell you, he said, you don't like, I like. What did the thing used to say?
Close the door, open the door.
Open the door. Close the door. I want to tell you. And he never, nobody ever heard him talk, Senor Wences.
You know, I was trying to think the other day, there used to be a comedian, and he's been forgotten. He was a Yiddish comedian, and I'm trying to think of his name. God, it's on the tip of my tongue there. He had like
stick your tongue out and go to a mirror.
I know. What a way to end the show. I can't remember the man's name.
What kind of an act did he do?
Well, he sang a little bit in his act. He used to play the Latin Quarter. That's where I remember hearing about him.
Sam Levine?
I don't think it was Sam Levine. Gosh, what was his name? He like pretended to be a doctor, I think.
Pretended to be a doctor.
I think that must
be the guys who worked on me. now we're back to that.
We are back to that. But I know he played the Latin Quarter a lot. He and Milton Berle, and they were all friends with.
No, Berle never played the Latin Quarter.
No, Burrell was never there?
No, Burrell, that type of comic didn't work there. You see, because those were tourists. That they didn't work for places where tourists were.
Huh.
No, he didn't play there. I'm trying to think what Jewish guys, because they had a lot of Jewish guys around that time. You can go right into a temple and just say, we need a comic, and 20 guys jumped up. I like that.
You know, and Jackie Mason is still out there performing.
Oh, God. Can I tell you something? I would like to be the one to get rid of him.
Oh. Not a fan of
Jackie
Mason?
Yeah, I don't like Jackie Mason, and not too many other people don't like Jackie Mason.
What happened with Jackie Mason?
Jackie Mason is just not a nice man. He's a very, very funny kid, and but he is not a nice man. I want to tell you, Jason, I used to be a rabbi. I'm not a rabbi anymore. I'm a comedian. I make a lot of money. And this, I went on the Ed Sullivan show, and I did something with my hand, and he told me it was wrong, and I told him it was right. He told me it was left, and I told him it was right. It was left and right.
I think I might have found this comedian. Let's see here. We have this clip here. Let's play the clip. This is Barbara Walters talking about the Latin Quarter. I think she might say the comedian's name here. Let's take a listen.
Sure, why? My father was in show business. He owned and operated nightclubs. They were called the Latin Quarter. There was one in Boston. There was one in New York. There was one in Florida. So we moved around a lot. I went to 3 different high schools in my 4 years of high school. So as I look back, I think it was maybe a strange childhood. To other people, to have a father who owned a nightclub, hey, wasn't that great? But I wanted him to come home every night and not just Friday nights. I wanted him not to sleep until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I guess I wanted my father to be a dentist.
What kind of a little girl were you?
I was a very serious little girl.
Well, we didn't get the name, but she wanted her father to be a dentist.
Yeah, so can I tell you, he was a dentist, so he pulled out the wrong cards when he was playing.
Well, Shecky, it is.
He was a Confederate gambler with the horde with the cards and lost the whole place. Everything he lost.
Lost the whole bit. Poor Mrs. Walters. What was she doing?
Mrs. Walters was a very lovely woman. She just he was very strong, Lou, and she just went along like a Jewish mother, you know, like a Jewish lady,
Just a nice. Well, you know, Shecky, there's always so much to talk about. I'm going to find this comedian's name, and then I'm going to. Next time, we'll also talk a little bit about Regis Philbin. So we got to have you back on soon, and I hope you will come back because it is always a pleasure. We always have a lot of fun.
Well, make sure I get a lot of sleep before, because I'm listening to the way I'm frumfing. Frumfing means, that's another one, function on and frumfing. Frumfing is when you start with your talk.
And next time we'll play the match game. It'll be a whole thing. We'll see if we can find Betty White.
Was she on that show? That was on? Yes.
Yeah, she'd love to be on there. Well, Shecky, you have a wonderful weekend. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope we talk again soon.
Good answer to all of Ohio. Okay?
Thank you, Shecky.
What else could I say, but I love Ohio.
We love you, Shecky. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The wonderful Shecky Green. Nobody better than him. We're going to continue on here. WWGH Radio 107.1 at Dare. Go where for love nor money.
It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on.